Being a friend to someone in need can go a long way in sharing the love of Christ, as we hear from Mike McIntosh.
Friendship is a great gift, and the Bible gives us a clue on how to be a good friend. In the book of Proverbs, it says if a man would want to have friends, he must show himself to be friendly. So that makes a lot of sense, but that's wisdom. You better be a friendly person or people don't want to be around you.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Having friendship with God. That's our theme today on Chapter and Verse with Mike McIntosh. Are you a person who's easily bothered when interruptions come your way? Do you act irritated and perhaps snap at those who may come to you for help? Have you ever stopped and given thought to the fact that this so-called interruption could actually be a divine appointment from God? In our text today, we'll see the Apostle Peter and John on their way to the temple, only to be stopped by one of God's divine appointments. We also see the friends that carried this man daily to the temple gate to be present for this divine appointment. As Mike presents our study, look for other applications that we can find from our text. And now, let's turn to the book of Acts and begin today's study with our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
Please turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 1. Lord, we are so grateful to be able to be alive today, and we would like to take a moment to just ask that the word would find place in all of our hearts. We thank you for a moment of respite to just enter into your presence, and thank you, Lord, for keeping the front door open to heaven, that your children can always come and be with you. And thank you, Lord, for your presence as we read the word and we begin to understand the word. So, Father, we honor your word. You said you hold your word above your name. And so through the word, as we see in the Gospel of John, it became flesh and dwelt among men. And that was the Lord Jesus. So we thank you for the price that you have paid to feel. And sometimes we forget that you feel, that you feel pain. And you showed the Apostle Paul saying that God was in Christ Jesus on the cross, reconciling the world unto himself. So often you've been proclaimed as a really mean tyrant judge of everything. And yet seldom do you get proclaimed as having feelings because you're God. But we know that you went through a lot of pain on the cross to get our attention and to win our souls. So for the souls that were born anew in the last service, we pray you'll be blessing them wherever they are right now. And for these beautiful men and women that are seated here, that their souls have never been born again, or it has been born again, but they've gone to a place of darkness and it just doesn't seem filled with you, we ask. We pray that you would fill us all, as Evan just prayed, with your Holy Spirit. We thank you for being willing to change our lives. Bless these men and women, that change will come like we read about in this chapter. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Peter and John, verse 1, chapter 3, book of Acts. Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. That would be the ninth hour of prayer, and that would be not 9 o'clock. Their timing is different than ours, but it was what was considered evening prayers. So I want to point out that two men, they were both fishermen, both these men walked with Jesus. Both personalities completely, you know, like Lucy and Ethel, or somebody else, Thelma and Louise, no. One was strong, Peter, very outspoken, but just a bold man. And John was a tender man. John was in his writings, he was so touched by Jesus, the tenderness of Jesus. And Peter was touched being this bold, strong fisherman and outgoing, outspoken. And by the end of his life, when you get to the letter, the second letter of Peter back by the book of Revelation, you see this man is a changed man. Yes, he's bold, but he's inside really mellowed out. So I want to point out friendships. Some of you are here today because a friend asked you to be here or to go to any church. What a joy, what a blessing to have a friend that would say, come to my church or let's go to church together. These guys could have been doing anything. They'd be autographing books, selling stories that they walked with Jesus. They were there when he cast a demon into the 2,000 pigs. You know, they could have made a lot of money just by knowing who Jesus was and being one of 12 that walked with Jesus. But no, they are seen together, friends. Friendship is a great gift. And the Bible gives us a clue on how to be a good friend. In the book of Proverbs, it says if a man would want to have friends, he must show himself to be friendly. So that makes a lot of sense, but that's wisdom. You better be a friendly person or people don't want to be around you. So we see friendship here, but we see godliness here. Two godly men going to the house of the Lord, and especially what they're doing with their evening time. Evening time for young men like these guys, they were probably in their late teens, very, very early 20s at the most, you know, on a weekend or whatever it'd be, let's go get a drink. Let's go see if we can meet some girls. Let's go, you know, be anything but going to the house of prayer. So when you go with a friend, what a wonderful thing. And to even know where a house of prayer is. This is the temple. This is the main spot. It's not where they had a synagogue. This was the temple where God was. So they went together. And a certain man, I'd like you to underline that because we don't get his name, but we get a lot about him and we hear a lot about him, and he's used to change the thinking of the people. And as Evan Wickham just prayed for our appreciation of today, Pentecost, that these men are coming to that place in the scripture, and their Pentecost is going to be very Pentecostal. And it's going to change the world with this power that was never, ever unleashed upon people and then indwelt. And the crowds that come to the Lord at this time and get filled with the Holy Spirit are the ones that launched the church worldwide in Africa, all through South America. There are churches in South America of 25,000 people, more. When they get together, they have a Pentecostal experience in a stadium, a soccer stadium. The Lord is moving all over the world. Well, this story changes everything for us. It brings things out into the light. Because not only are friends important, friends that are in tune with God can be on a mission, even going to a prayer meeting or going to a restaurant together or a movie. A certain man, we don't have his name, but I have pointed out over the years, from the front of the Bible to the back of the Bible, they always mention a certain man. Never give the name. Other times they give names and even give lists of names in genealogies. But I think this is wonderful because a certain woman or a certain man gives room for you and me. There's not much room to be an apostle. That is clear. There's not much room to be whatever else. But to be available, that's you and me. I've seen God do things just amazing. I mean, amazing. I can remember I was in a meeting one time that I was trying to help some people that were held hostage, and I ended up in the State Department, and I didn't realize that was the building that I was told to have my meeting. And there was European leaders were all taking a break from some meeting they were having us. Who are these people? Oh, that's the guy from Austria. This is the guy from France. And I said, whoa, huge. And so I went in. There's an old business desk, you know, metal government desk. And he said, take your jacket off. You can hang it here on my hat rack, the coat rack. I said, yeah, so thank you. And I said, should I sit here? And he said, oh, no. We'll go into here. And he took me into a room that any one of you would say, whoa, this is a nice room. And the carpets, the paintings. And he said, pick where you'd like to sit. It was a very large room. And I thought, so this is a negotiating room other than being handcuffed and, you know, hit with a rubber banana or something. And I said, well, where do you want to sit? And he said, no, you're the guest. You sit. So I realized that it depended on your mood. Every corner of this room had different paintings and different styles of furniture. So it was up to you where you want to sit. How unique. And I sat down with this man with no idea who he was. And he said, now I understand that you are trying to help some people that are held prisoner. And I said, yes. And he said, well, the president has made it very clear that we don't negotiate, so we can't help you in any way. And I said, I'm only just being a gentleman coming and saying, you're going to hear about me. And he said, well, here's what we know. And this is information we have. And I said, well, there are people in San Diego that are, shall I say, they're from the East, and they live in San Diego, and there's a group of them, and one of them has taken heart and says they wanted to help, and so that's the only reason I'm here. Well, when I left and walked away, the business card was the special assistant to the special assistant of the President of the United States of America. I looked at that, and I said, you're kidding me. I should have, got some airbrush work done or something. That guy's really important. And I've been into the alleys of Hong Kong with some of the poorest people. And I've sat with people in jungles and told them about my Lord and what he does for people. And I've been at church on Sunday with you. I would rather wear a T-shirt and a pair of jeans, but I have to dress up on Sunday and wear a pair of jeans and a shirt. You all get to just be kicked back. But, you know, it's like the church. Where are you going? To the church. Well, you're the church. So it's wherever you are. And this man helps us learn that. Where two or more are gathered together in the name of Jesus, he's there. Two or more. Now, that doesn't mean if you're all alone that he's not going to help you. No, absolutely, he's there. But what he's saying is that things can happen when friends are submitted to the Lord. And so it's very wonderful being married to a person that she does nothing but read her Bible and put together studies and talks to me about her walk with the Lord, and she loves the Lord all day long. And she's out of town, so I'm speaking about her. And, she's raised all these children, and she's just been a godly woman. And you know that when you have a friend that you can talk about Jesus, it's really kind of a wonderful thing. And you need to do it more with your friends. Because friends and family are the two greatest assets I think you have, and that I have, besides the gift of knowing God as my Father. Now, many of you, like myself, didn't know your father. I met him. I prayed with him before he died. But the idea of a father is foreign to many of us. And yet the concept of it we can accept, but the interaction with the father, with the male figure, is one of the main things that Satan has attacked. And he's done a good job. I've watched from the 60s on him working and pounding. Our country has lost the family. And we don't know what a family is. And so all we know about is just to experience life ourselves. We want to be different than the older people. Or the older people want to be different than the younger people. And there's always a bridge, and the devil loves it. So in every generation, God raises up preachers. So at least that generation will have it recorded in heaven that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. So every generation, people get to hear that Wonderful message. And this generation is the beginning here in the first century. So I want you to look very closely where they're going. They're going to the temple at the hour of prayer. They were on time. And a certain man, you've underlined that, he's certain, he's different. He's lame. I've been called lame by a lot of people, but this one, he's really lame. A certain man, we know this man by name, no, family, no, reputation, yes. Every day, morning till night, he made money for himself by the leftover coins handed to him out of guilt. People saying, well, I got to give this guy something. His family had accepted that he is lame, and I want you to notice he's lame from his mother's womb. This is a congenital problem. He had feet that couldn't walk when he came out of his mother's womb. That's what he's saying. So this is something that didn't happen by an accident. He just could not use his feet. He's lame. And he is so bad that he has to be carried every day to this spot. That's how bad he is. He can't have a walker. He can't use crutches. He can't have a little scooter from the scooter store. He can't have anything. He needs people. And how often people forget those that are lame. And we need to be more sensitive. Because that is not just some person that's not up to par. That's a person like you that either was born or their life had this interruption. And they're real. So this man, he's sitting there. The family knows that the ninth hour of prayer is coming up. Great time for him to get a little extra cash. He has no way to earn money for himself. He was carried, whom they laid daily. Notice that. Every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. That's what they did. That's what his friends did. That's what his family did. His lameness was the center of his identification. And we will learn in chapter 4, to jump ahead just a little bit, he's 40 years old. He has been set out here since he could be of age to sit there collecting money at least 30, if not 35 years of his life. Now maybe there's something that's not physically lame, but you are crippled inside. You're not nuts. You're not crazy. You don't need a psychiatrist. Well, maybe you do. I'm not a psychiatrist. I can't say you do or don't. But I'm talking spiritually. And a couple of areas that come to heart are how the devil can cripple people that their lives will always have something like this man that they go back to, and they can never be a great person. They can never accomplish anything. They may make it up the social ladder and the corporate ladder, but there is this hindrance, and it could be something weird. Over the years, I've counseled so many people, I really wouldn't be able to tell you the number, but the number of women that I have counseled over the years that lost their virginity and their life got hung up on that. They've never felt right about that guy. They were dumb. They were in the wrong place. They shouldn't have had a beer or whatever. That holds them up in their 30s or their 40s. I've talked to many. For men, 12 or 13 years old, right at that age when they get hit by a pedophile, a neighbor, my goodness, an uncle. And that man's life has been harpooned, and the devil knows how to harpoon us. He's an opportunist with a harpoonist in mind. And he wants us to be lame so that we have to depend on others and not get to the Lord. So if there's something in your heart, in your mind, and you think, gosh, you know, I've never let go of this. This has controlled me since, oh, gee, the divorce. The guilt I couldn't do it. The guilt that women carry for abortions. If there weren't a Savior, what would we do? What in the world would we do with all the stupid things we've done and said? They would just drive us into the ground. Now, those of you that were a fatherless kid when you got to your preteens and your teens, whoa, you saw the big world opening up to you. And you started realizing that maybe you could be a part of this big world, but you have to contribute. And I was always a guy that would, you know, I was a really angry kid and mean-spirited. Today, you can push me over with a feather. But I just had a smart mouth, a smart, cocky, arrogant attitude. I was not afraid of anybody. It's just I had no boundaries. And then it's when I started getting some boundaries around me that I realized, oh, we have to play by rules here. And there are boundaries for all of us. And then you find there are people that are con artists as you grow up. You can't trust them. And then you have to barter. And so some people make decisions that it's their body. And they barter that to be accepted. Other people, it's to cheat in business, to cut corners. That's how they barter, and that's how they are smarter than somebody else. You can go 1,000 different directions here, but it's all because of that harpooning, that thing that it just has followed you. So this certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried daily and set there at that beautiful place. Now, I think this is beautiful, actually. You can see it's capital B. It is a gate called Beautiful, led you right to the temple. But there are other names. There's the Jaffa Gate. There's David's Citadel, a gate for him. Many names of the wall that you can go in today to Old Jerusalem. But the beautiful one, there is a gate called the Dung Gate. It's where all the dung and the garbage of Jerusalem, it had to be carried only out of that gate and then deposited in what was known as the Potter's Field, which was in the Hebrew word Gehenna, which is the same word for the lake of fire in the book of Revelation. And it's a fire that's always there. And that's where the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are all going to end up, in that lake of fire that never stops burning. Well, Gehenna, or the Potter's Field that the priest bought with the 30 pieces of silver that Judas threw down on the floor after he had betrayed Jesus. He went back and said, I've betrayed the wrong man. They said, what's that to us? And he threw the money down. Well, they used it to buy that field. That was the garbage dump, a continual fire for burning all the garbage. And so on the other end of life, that's a pretty, you don't want to go in now that gate. You know, that's the end of life. I mean, we can't go any lower than that. But God chose this one gate called Beautiful. The world is like, you choose what's behind the curtain and you're going to have a great life. Or for this weekend, you go off to wherever you want and everything will open up for you. Well, they're not all beautiful, and you know that. Hangovers aren't fun. You went through that gate with all the smiling, beautiful people. And notice it's always young, beautiful, attractive people. It's not the alcoholic that started out as a young, attractive man. It's not the person that has sicknesses every month that she is taken on because, and then you look at her and say, whoa, no. They never show you the outcome of the choices they're giving you. They make it seem like eternity. Just think of some ads. If you go play slot machines with your girlfriends, because there's always two or three girls together. If you go off together for a weekend, you're going to be so happy and you can have all the cocktails. They just paint a picture. The world paints pictures. It's how the devil works.
You've been listening to Mike McIntosh with another segment from our Survey of Acts. Join us tomorrow as we continue with this exciting story of one man's healing and the friends who were faithful to carry him to his encounter with a touch from God. Now, before we end our time together, if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. Again, to give your financial support, drop us a line at Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. I'd also like to remind you before we close that while you're online, to be sure to check out all the other resources available to you from our website, including archived messages from Mike. Just log on, MikeMacintosh.com. Join us tomorrow on CNV when we'll continue with our message, Having Friendship with God. Please join us then. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.